Welcome to Over for Coffee. This is a podcast where we invite our friends and family over for coffee and talk all things community and creativity. In this episode, Sam, Esther, and I talk about a few of the habits of highly creative people. Come on over for coffee. Okay, can I just say, like, I feel like we've been recording for over an hour, and I feel like I'm just coming off as, like, the world's biggest jerk. Like,
no, I don't think you are. No, not at all. Like, it's...
I feel weird. Like, I'm a weirdo. Like, no. I feel, like, very exposed.
Yeah, you're making me self-conscious.
I didn't realize this list would expose us.
No, but I feel really weird. Like, that's
I read the list, and I was like, okay.
Me too. I was like, I'm like, these are great things. And now I'm like, this is awful.
No, I feel like terrible. The weird one. I mean, here
diseased.
I am.
Yeah, like, I do. I feel creativity. I mean, abnormal.
Here I am, like co-hosting a creative podcast. I'm thinking I should not be doing this. I am the odd person out.
Not at all.
They people watch. Are you guys people watchers?
Yes. I love it, but I hate it at the same time because I end up watching other people's, like, kids, and then I get invested into, like, oh, please go get your kid, please. Oh, my gosh. And I get all anxious and stuff. But then even, like, their conversations and, oh, my gosh, they're breaking up or she's really mad. Oh, boy. Oh, my gosh. You know, I love it. But I do like seeing the couples that are, like, in love and seeing them, you know, she'll grab his arm or he'll kiss her on the forehead. And I'm like, oh, they've probably just been through something. I mean, I don't know. And then, of course, you end up daydreaming about them and making up stories about them and whatever. But yeah, I definitely people watch.
People watcher?
I think that's why I stopped going to the library, is because I would go to the library, right? And I'm browsing through and I'm looking for a book, and there would be someone like in a similar section, or I'd see someone standing in like Egyptian mythology, right? And they're looking at that, and I'm like, why are they there? I wonder what they're doing. Like, is that a school project? No, they're too old to be at school. And I'd start thinking about, yeah, I definitely people watch, especially like the computers that they have in the big open room. I'm walking by, I have to see what each person is like looking at to see if I even know that website or what they're like, what they're looking at. Cause I'm like, I'm interested.
Little bit more task oriented, like, well, and I'm usually with the kids. If I'm with the kids, we are on task. We got to get in and out, you know, kind of thing. Grocery store, library, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. If I'm by myself, yeah, I will just I just watch people a lot more.
So, I mean, this sounds like the real world version of like Facebook stalking.
I do a lot of Facebook stalking.
I do a lot of Facebook stalking, and I can go back years.
I'm an Instagram like stalker. Like, oh yeah, if there's an artist too. They can mention something about their personal life, I'm like, did that happen?
Yes. And so then I go back
and I'm reading all the captions, and I'm looking, and I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. Who's that tagged in that photo? And I go and look at their profile for a little while. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I definitely people watch. Yeah, this sounds so creepy.
Social people watch. Yeah.
Yeah, I social people watch, for sure.
But I think that's part of the, you know, as far as...
That's kind of our culture, though, now, too.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean...
People put way too much of their life on social media, by the way. Y'all stop doing that.
Y'all stop doing that.
You're giving us way too much information.
I really don't, yeah.
So the next one is they take risks, and I would say, yeah.
This is a risk in and of itself.
We're being very risky right now.
Very risky. This part of doing creative work is taking risk, and many creative types thrive off taking risk in various aspects of their lives.
Yeah.
Yes.
If I'm in a rut, it's usually because I'm being too safe anyway.
Yeah.
Like if I'm in a rut, like creatively with videos, it's because I've stopped taking risk. So I'm like, nope, I gotta break out of that.
I gotta try something new. Do something new.
If I'm not sweating, then
I gotta go big. Yeah. Yes, I gotta sign up for a big market and see if anybody buys anything. Yeah, yeah. I gotta do something risky. Sure. Yeah, or else I'm just dying.
So check out this quote. It says, "Creativity is the act of making something from nothing. It requires making public those. It requires making public those bets first placed by imagination. This is not a job for the timid." Time wasted, reputation tarnished, money not well spent. These are all byproducts of creativity gone awry.
I didn't understand that quote at all. I got stuck on those bets first.
First made place. Imagination. It says make public, but I would say make real those bets first made by imagination. Like,
right.
If you can imagine it, like, creativity is a result of saying that just because I can imagine it, I can make it real and make it a possibility. Like, I'm taking a bet by even thinking about this in the first place in my head.
Oh, I'm betting that I can make it real. I'm taking a risk. Make it
real. I'm taking risk.
Yeah. What does the quote say? I didn't
can wait. You read what's it? The so question? Let me read it again.
Yeah.
Creativity is the act of making something from nothing. It requires making public those bets first placed by imagination. This is not a job for the timid. Time wasted, reputation tarnished, money not well spent. These are all byproducts of creativity gone awry.
Oh yeah, been there, done that.
Yeah. We I both don't want like, to get into the details of that.
Yeah.
Oh jeez.
We've been outed enough in this.
Please, sir, resheathe your sword.
Okay, let's go on to the next one. They all, they view all...
I feel like I have, like, I actually do. I have a big box of yarn that was ill spent, that I thought, oh, yeah, I'm going to make this big thing out of this natural mohair, and it's going to be so great.
I tell you, I got a heat gun. You got a heat gun, like... when I was at the cashier, and my mind was rich with possibilities, and like, ding. Oh my gosh, so many different uses, and this is gonna be like, this is a creative tool that I can really take advantage and use of. And sometimes it's a struggle to find how I can use this.
You're like, I but got every to
time,
use this.
Every time there's even like the slight opportunity where the heat gun may not even be the best tool, I pry the heat gun into my hands and I use it because I feel like, why did I buy that? And you know why? It's out of spite. Because when I brought it home, Kelsey's like, why on earth do you need it? And I'm like, I need one.
For there's a million all these and
things
one
I can use it for. And yeah, I've maybe seriously used it twice. Like, twice we're like, this. You need a heat gun for this.
Wow.
So yeah.
I have a lot of bunny fur.
You do have a lot of bunny fur upstairs.
For me, it's tools. Tools. Not materials, it's tools. Yeah.
Yeah. Materials in this home.
We have a lot of materials, yeah, that are, I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do with it yet, but there's got to be something.
That's funny, because I am like, yeah, this is really great. I'm learning a lot. Yeah. Learning a lot. They view all of life as an opportunity for self-expression.
Yeah. Okay.
Meaning my wardrobe, my choice of house, my decorations.
My choice of car.
Dinner I cook.
My taste in music. The case on
the
my
things
phone.
I make.
I often get asked why are you doing that way, like, because I'm doing it my way.
What's the next, what number are we on?
We're close to the end of here. They're not numbered for those. Yeah, I don't know if that's important to you guys. Numbered?
Wait a minute. It said 18 things, and we don't even know what number we're on?
Yeah, does that...
They're not numbered?
Does that
bother you?
They should
be numbered.
That is not okay.
It's a list. They should be numbered.
Well, guys, here it is. I mean, they wrote this list for non-creative types for us to understand the creative types. So numbers are really important.
But why isn't there numbers?
If you're going to write an article that says... 18 things you're going to have to list.
1, 2, 3, to 18.
To 18, yes.
All right. I will let them know. They follow their true passions.
See, I hate the term true passion. Yeah. My passions are so wide and varied and diverse that who's to say what's true or not?
It makes it sound like you have one true passion.
Right, yeah.
Which I don't. I have a lot... of passions.
But it says passions. They follow their true passions.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. Okay, you follow it. You don't let anything dictate to you. So you follow what you want to do.
Okay, yeah.
Instead of...
No one can impose their passion upon me.
I'm not following your passion. I'll follow my passion.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what this means, but I'm sure you guys are going to know what this means. But it says, they get out of their own heads.
Like, what's the explanation? Is there an explanation?
So Kaufman argues that another purpose of daydreaming is to help us get out of our own limited perspective.
See things from other people's
and explore other ways of thinking, which can be important assets to creative work.
Yes. Yeah, so that's why I have conversations. Like, that's why I daydream about conversations.
Let me borrow your viewpoint.
Yeah. And I think, well, this person is like this, or this person usually doesn't feel that way. You know, how could I come across to this person better? How can I rephrase my question so that this person doesn't get their feelings hurt? or I think that I'm bossing them around. How can I get this person on my side?
Yeah, if I realize I'm like holding like strongly onto a certain opinion or something, I try to be objective when I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
That way I can like figure out the other side of the argument, or like find out if objectively that's even an appropriate way to think about it. And that helps me really reframe and reinvigorate my original viewpoint, I guess. But getting out of my head helps me firm up my argument, if that makes any sense. I am a world-class arguer.
Can we move on to a different question?
Yeah,
no,
because...
No, let's talk about this.
Yeah, because this really...
Okay, so let me break down my argument.
Well, the next one is... The next one is they
don't
lose track of time.
My Fraser voice.
Lose track of time? Us? Never.
Lose track of time is the next one.
No way. The other day when I was making that display for my jewelry... I had no idea it was supposed to be lunchtime. I mean, I was just handing Ellie snacks when she came over to me. I was just going, you know, like I had no idea. And I'm glad that's why I have alarms set on my phone, because I can lose track of time and my kids will be at the school waiting for me. So I set multiple alarms so that I can snap myself out of what I'm doing.
I certainly lose track of time often.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are a plethora of examples.
Yeah.
We don't need to go into that.
We don't need to go into them. They surround themselves with beauty.
Surround themselves.
How do you guys feel about...
Well, Kelsey certainly is beautiful.
Doesn't everyone do that?
I think so.
Do people surround themselves with ugliness? I mean,
yeah.
What are y'all doing?
No, yeah, that is kind of... Do people not function
like... Did they have an explanation?
Okay, so creatives tend to have... I think this really like is like puffing you guys up here. Creatives tend to have excellent taste.
Someone's feeling a little. Go ahead.
I love you guys. Really, I really do. Creatives tend to have excellent taste, and as a result, they enjoy being surrounded by beauty. A study recently published in the journal Psychology of Aesthetics, Creativity in the Arts shows that musicians, including orchestra musicians, music teachers, and soloists, exhibit a high sensitivity and responsiveness to artistic beauty.
Yeah, but like, do people not do that? I guess I agree with Esther. Do people not like seek out like listening to beautiful music when you're in the house, like chilling?
Like, or like picking things for your house that you like to look at. Like I'm looking around my house and I'm going, okay, I like to see each of the things that I have on the wall. Like I like to look at it and see it. Dude, what are y'all looking at? This is, I also don't have any family photos or, you know, we don't have any like people. Mm-hmm. And I think that for me, it helps me because I like to, see that's not, it's sounding wrong. Let me try to rephrase that. You know how people like fill their house with like old pictures and like awkward family photos?
Yeah. I would
like,
never
I can't
put that
do
on the
that.
Wall.
Yeah.
Like I took a picture of Amelia and Kelsey and I gave it to her for birthday. Like we framed it and we put it on the wall. Like, I took a picture of Amelia, and I really liked it. I felt like, objectively, it was very beautiful, very good. And I put it on the wall. Like, that's what I want to see. That's my taste. My taste is good stuff, I guess. But, like, that's, I don't know. Like, me and Kelsey don't always share that. And so, like, I have a space where I can put up the things that I really like, and I think it looks cool. I don't know. I don't know why that's a creative habit. I feel like that's just...
Or, well, here's what I think. I think other people, though, put things in their home or on their bodies or whatever. They choose things based on what designers and celebrities tell them to like, whether they like it or not.
Mm.
And so they just buy the thing because it's trending and because you're supposed to like it, as opposed to... me walking around going, you know what, I like that green couch and that's what I want. Like, that makes me happy when I see it. It makes, you know, I don't actually have a green couch. I wish I did. A green velvet couch. So if you have one.
Oh, Lord.
Kelsey really wants a velvet couch.
Right? Yeah. That'd be so fun. Or a chair, just a big chair.
Yeah, or a chair.
As opposed to finding something that you love to see, that makes you happy, that makes you smile, that welcomes you home, that... you can look at it and be like, oh, that's so beautiful. I love seeing that. Whether it's trendy or not doesn't matter to me.
Yeah. It just has to be
objective. I never ask beautiful. Myself, is this on trend? I right. just go, oh, I like that. That's it. That's my only criteria.
I think for me too, like, sentiment can't like outweigh aesthetic. Like, I take lots of pictures of Amelia like every day. But I don't put any of them on my wall, you know, because they're not like, it's Amelia's beautiful, but like the picture's like clunky, you know,
okay,
it's
an everyday phone picture. That's funny because I feel the opposite. I have some ugly things on my wall that are sentimental
mm-hmm.
because it reminds me of either a person that I love very dearly or a time in our life that was very special or meaningful to us. And so I will put up ugly things, but to me, have beautiful meaning.
Right. See, I can't do that. I literally can't. Because if I see it and it bothers me and like I fixate on the imperfection and I fixate on like there could be something better there and I take it down. Like, it doesn't last long. Even if I do make that decision in a moment of extreme sentimentality, it doesn't last long.
I think there's also...
one, and I'm specifically talking about that one painting there in the kitchen that I'm staring at right now. I hate it. And I know everyone that comes in goes, what the heck is that doing there?
I feel like no one thinks that, but like, it's important.
It's so kindergarten, like, it's so bad.
I don't think so,
but again, it was done at like 1 a.m.
I feel like it's also like a measure, like a marker of like your progression, like your journey in art.
I put it up as just a reminder, though. A reminder, not of art, but of just what we've been through, where we've been,
mm-hmm.
and like our constant need of embracing imperfection.
I feel like if you tell people that story, though, I mean, like, it becomes beautiful to them too.
Yeah, I do have to explain the picture a lot because I see people look at it like, oh, who did that? Me.
Yeah, I hear you'd say it. But I think
not
also
my 5-year-old.
Like, don't you think like surrounding yourself with beauty is like beyond just like what you hang up in the wall? Like, is it, I mean, when I hear that, I think of like going to like a museum or going to, you know, like hear an orchestra play or.
Right, going to visit, choosing vacations based on where's natural landscape,
right.
Where's beautiful.
Like going to, you know.
Yeah, we're going to go to the Redwoods this year.
Going to the beach, going to the Redwoods,
see,
like going places that inspire.
I would never go somewhere like Las Vegas.
No.
Like, that does not
There's
appeal
no
to me
there.
Aesthetically, unless we were going like to that desert, like to do like something in the actual, you know what I mean? Like where you see landscape and stuff, but not to like the city, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's just different. But then, well, I don't know, like the city of Boston, I think is aesthetically like... beautiful.
Right. They connect the dots.
I can make sense
like
out
the
of
little...
some nonsense. I can connect dots that don't even exist yet.
It says, if there's one thing that distinguishes highly creative people from others, is the ability to see possibilities where others don't, or in other words, vision.
Yeah. In to me, I feel like there's always an alternate route, a plan C, D, E, F. there's other ways to get outcome. There's other ways to accomplish things. There's lots of options. And it frustrates me when someone tells me, well, there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah.
That's...
Oh, yeah.
That's infuriating.
Even when there's absolutely nothing that you can do about it?
No, you just think that there's nothing we can do about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Because you don't have any imagination. And you have not tried to think about this.
My favorite part of, like, working, like, with a client is the pitch. Because there's, like, so much possibility. And I love, like, pitching something and hearing them, oh, but we really want to do this. Or, oh, no, we really can't do that because of this. And I'm like, well, I've got a brand new pitch for you right now. Like, I don't need time to think about it. Like, let me rework it. Like, right now, here's, we can do this instead. Boom. Like, I love when you start imposing limitations because I'm like, these workarounds are beautiful. Like, I can make anything happen. Like, because it's, like, so conceptual, and that's, like, bread and butter right there.
They have a quote from Steve Jobs here. I think I shared it with you, Esther, a couple of days ago. It says, creativity is just connecting things. When you ask creative people how they did something, they feel a little guilty because they really didn't do it. They just saw something. It seemed obvious to them for a while, and that's because they were able to connect experiences they've had and synthesize new things.
Yeah, I totally 100% agree with that quote.
Yeah, they just saw it.
So here's number 17 for those who are keeping track. They consistently shake things up. Yes.
Me?
Didn't we even talk about that?
No, we didn't.
I mean, we didn't call it shaking things up, but you get out of your own head.
I think he's saying you change things up constantly.
Yeah, but I mean, like, isn't that sort of implied?
Isn't that sort of implied?
Creative people have more diversity of experiences, and habit is a killer of diversity of experiences.
Yeah. I feel like habit only deserves a place in your life as far as, like, your morning routine. Like, brush your teeth, comb your hair.
Yeah, put on deodorant,
take a shower. Those are habits. That's the only place habit belongs in your life.
You put deodorant on before you shower?
No, after you shower.
Okay, just wondering.
I was just listing things. Okay. It's no particular order. Okay. I feel like you would have known that, Sam.
Well, for someone who has lists as very important in numbering, I figure you would.
I didn't number them. I didn't say number one, put on deodorant, number two, take a shower.
Okay, so they don't like habitual like things. Is that what it's saying?
Yeah, it's always let's do something different. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I remember being a kid and seeing the skyscrapers, you know, in downtown Houston. And thinking how awful it must be to be a grown up having to go to the same office every single day. And how horrified I was that I was going to have to grow up and like go somewhere every single day for like what, the rest of my life? Like, is that what grown ups did? Like, it freaked me out. Like, if I think I have to do something every single day, I mean, besides brushing your teeth, you know, and like you said, morning routine, that's it. That's as far as habits should go. I feel like, you know, waking up in new places and experiencing new cities, new people, new careers, you know, new office space, work from home, work from the coffee shop, work from, you know, wherever, your car. Yeah, I can't imagine doing the same thing.
I feel like variety is not just the spice of life. It's like necessary for creative minds. Oh, yeah. Like it's the lifeblood of creative people. Like mm-hmm. without variety, you're
right.
How can you expect to create? I don't know.
I mean, even if you live in the same place your whole life, you can find new paths home. You explore different parts of your city. You know... If there's a new restaurant that opens up, we are there. Yeah. You know, we got to try it out. It just, you have to find that new, that fresh anything.
Anything new.
Yeah.
So the last one is they make time for mindfulness. Creative types understand the value of a clear and focused mind because their work depends on it.
Okay, how can my mind be clear and focused if I'm daydreaming all day and planning?
Well, I mean, some of it is like self-therapy. Like if I sit down at the editing and like something's bothering me, like I know right away because I can't sit and my attention span is short because
we get restless.
I had an argument or because, you know, my desk is messy. Like I do most of my cleaning at the beginning of a new job. Like I just clean the entire garage because when I tried to sit down and get started to work, like I couldn't because there's stuff all over my desk. I'm cramped. Like my chair keeps hitting something. So like I do that thing like in my mind all the time where like if I had an argument or if something's bothering me or if I a conversation's like nagging at me, like I gotta address it. I gotta clear it out of my way so I can get back to work.
Yeah. So cleaning is one example to give. Yeah.
I can't create if I am feeling upset or sad or you know how people like write music when they have gone through a breakup or like mm-hmm. they're like super depressed or something, you know, and they draw from that. If I'm that way, I got nothing. So I have to be in a resolved or a peaceful state of mind in order to really get the best creativity out of myself. And if I've been pretty restless the past week because of some things and I haven't made anything because I just, every time I think about going over to my table to make something, I've got nothing. Like I don't even want to go up there. I don't want to look at the stuff. I don't want to deal because I'm restless in my mind. So I've sort of tried to channel that into like somewhere else, you know, like I've been knitting a lot more. So I'm like, okay, maybe I can work through it as I knit and I work through the issues. Right. Cause that lends itself better to that. Cause I can just kind of think
You clear your mind by doing another type of creative process.
But it's like less, like with knitting, I can just do it automatically.
Yeah.
You know, so I picked a project where I didn't have to be coming up with it. And I was even trying to like write down the pattern for it, but it was making me upset. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I just need to enjoy doing this. I just need to enjoy making it. And once I decided not to care about what I was doing for other people to do it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I already feel better. Like, I already feel better in my mind. I feel I'm enjoying the knitting and I'm also like resolving things in my head. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll probably go upstairs tomorrow. Like, you know, like I'm already getting that like cleared out.
And your peaceful mind comes from like having a, like your workspace is kind of tied into that.
Yeah, like definitely. But like if I can't like, if something is like nagging me, like you said, you mentioned enjoying like the knitting. Like for me, it's like food. Like if I can't get like physical like conflict resolution going on and like there's no hope of like revisiting that subject matter or whatever it is, you know, then like a good meal helps me get past that. Like like sitting down, comfort food, like give me a bucket of fried chicken, you know, like then like at the end of that meal, I'm like, oh, I really enjoyed that. It's like recentering.
Or like watching a good movie could do that too.
Yeah. Oh, like a movie I've seen like 100 times.
And I've been, it's so funny. Oh my gosh. That's so funny because I'm realizing as we're talking through this, how I've been coping, but I've been playing Animal Crossing on the GameCube. And so because usually I'll go and I'll do some work when the kids go to bed, but now because I can't get to that place.
Yeah.
I've been just doing Animal Crossing and fishing, and it's sort of like a little bit of fun and just sort of like, okay, it's okay.
Yeah.
So it's a way to clear the mind.
Yeah.
Like coping refocus. Mechanisms. Like coping, I have like a long list of coping mechanisms. Like I have like self-care is like one of my like top 10 things I'm good at, you know, like, like for real, like if anyone can take care of me,
I can take care of myself. I can take real care good. Of myself.
Like I know like one of my like coping triggers is like root beer. Like if I have like a good root beer, I'm like already like I'm half better, you know, like I'm halfway there, man. Like movies, like you said, like certain games and food for sure. Do you have coping mechanisms though? Like do you? Like, what are your, like...
How do you make yourself feel better?
You're not hitting the sauce or anything, right? No. Like, you're not, like...
Typically, like, just yeah, not cry, dangerous cry, coping mechanisms. Cry in the pillow at night. I don't know. I'm just joking.
I think for Sam, a good sleep is... It works wonders for him. He's a different
like
person.
Like, nap or, like, nighttime sleep?
No, like, nighttime. Like,
nighttime
a good
sleep
night's sleep.
Is good.
You gotta rest.
I would say having a good meal is good. You know? Especially a good meal away, like, you know, like at a restaurant, because then there's not the stress of like the cleanup afterwards, you know? Okay. Hey, so one other, like, I guess mechanism, I guess, if you will, is like this person talks about meditation as a tool for tapping into the most creative state of mind. So meditation, prayer.
Is that the same as like mulling over something?
Yeah, is that the same as like
sitting with something?
Because sometimes my daydreams take a meditative quality, you know? Like sometimes there's a stillness where I can sit, like if Amelia's asleep, I can sit in the living room and like not look at my phone and like not have anything playing, and I can sit and ponder, you know? And it's like...
Do
it's
you sit in like, silence? I like to sit in silence.
Yeah, I feel like the sitting in silence is
Sam,
part of the
meditation.
Do you
sit in silence?
Why do you laugh?
Because I know what the answer is already.
Sam, do you not sit in silence?
No.
No?
I always have to have something on.
You can't just, like, sit down?
No.
Okay, so, like, if we go to the park and it's, like, the middle of the day.
Uh-huh.
And we all sit on the grass. What are you doing?
Talking.
Be like, hey, what are you guys thinking about?
Because, like, one of the things, like, I really enjoyed was, like, the Rothko Chapel. Have you ever been there?
Where?
In Houston. It's called the Rothko Chapel. This guy, you've heard of Rothko, right?
Dave, assume we have not heard of all the things and people that you have.
Okay.
I mean, there's a ring a bell.
So there's this artist, world-renowned artist, Rothko.
Rothko.
I don't even know his first name. I'm ashamed to not know his first name. He's from Houston.
Okay.
He paints these large canvases, and it's usually like a color, like a big block of color on like on a background of color.
Okay.
And they're very simple. Sometimes they fade into one. Like it's just very simple, like abstract art. Well, he created like through an art project or someone created on behalf of him, like a chapel. It's like a multi, like, religion. It's non-religious chapel or,
go.
Like, all religions chapel. Mm-hmm. Like, where you come and you meditate and they have, like, 6 or 9 Rothkos on the wall that are, like, well lit. That you can just sit and look at the paintings. You can sit in silence there. You're supposed to, like, speak in hushed tones. You're supposed to respect the space. You can go and pray there. They have, like, all of the religious texts from all the major world religions. That you can like pick up and like check out like and sit there and like ponder like, and it's like a chapel, like a silent chapel with these Rothko paintings there, and like I really enjoyed like going there with Kelsey, and like afterwards we went out and we like sat on the grass and we just chilled like in the sun like and like yeah, so like no pressure, just kind of like just relax in silence.
Interesting.
So you've never done anything like that?
No, I mean, I'll tell you that probably the times where I have been in silence is usually like after a busy day at work, and mm-hmm. I've probably like had my fill of conversation, and I've had a lot of conversation, and I'm done for the day.
Yeah,
I will have like the radio off and like no podcasts or anything like that, and just drive and hear like the hum of the car like on my way home, but it's typically because I've had my fill of interaction
and already.
And I need you know, I need that break before I get home, because I know like my interaction's gonna pick back up again.
So I had 5 months from when Caleb went to kindergarten and before I had Eliana. And those 5 months, I'd go drop him off. And a lot of times I'd just walk back in the house and not have anything on. Unless I was purposefully like, oh, I'm going to sit down and watch this thing or watch the show or see if PBS has something. It was really quiet in here.
Yeah.
Most of the day.
That's so nice.
Yeah. Okay, so those are the 18 things?
Those are the 18 things. 18 things.
I think I would agree.
And I think out of all 18, yeah.
Do you feel highly creative or do you feel less creative after that list?
I feel a little odd.
I feel more neurotic.
Yes. And I feel vulnerable.
Really?
Yeah.
Gosh, I look up to you guys so much. I mean, I think you guys are like when it comes to like, I think the list is true. Like these are highly creative people. It's not that I'm like not creative.
Yeah, you're definitely creative.
But I think you sure, like, yeah. you know, you guys are like.
Like, how is he going to say this without making us feel weirder?
We're creative to the point of like. Like at some point, the creativeness turns into like an obsession.
No, not at all.
We're like falling off the cliff of creativity.
I feel like if we had bad addictions, mm-hmm. I felt then we could definitely go off the deep end.
Yeah, like if like creative like people who are also hoarders, like. That's dangerous, right? Like creative people who smoke, I feel like.
Or like who have addictive.
Addictive personalities,
yeah. Then you can kind of go off the deep end of like being way obsessive about stuff or overly living on that separate plane, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like fame lends itself to that too. Like if you are famous and you're a creative person, I feel like you have more opportunity for eccentricity that you feel like you can impose on others like mm-hmm. in your life, and you feel like, oh, this is how I create, and so you have to respect that kind of, you lose the sort of
reality.
Yeah you certainly lose your
grounding.
We
have enough reality in our lives with families and things that
jobs,
you're like, okay,
yeah.
you know, mom,
and...
I need lunch. You have to yeah. come out of your zone to feed me. You know, it's when you can't come out of your zone, then you have problem. But
yeah.
I think
right.
we
like
we
Amelia
are pretty
really
grounded in, yeah, pretty grounded
sure.
into reality where you're like, okay, I have to.
Because when
away.
I examined my creative process before Amelia, like it was a lot of like crazy, like late nights. Like I had my gear set up at the church, you know, I'd be there till like 2 or 3 in the morning, like literally just jamming and like recording stuff and deleting it and recording stuff. And, you know how it is.
Ross.
But
that's all I see now. Which there's nothing wrong with it. It just he was so excited about it.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I feel like that grounding, Amelia has really grounded me into like gotta wake up at a certain time, gotta feed her, gotta make sure
yeah.
she's using the potty.
Yeah, you definitely have to have a routine. With children and family.
And I feel like I've always been a responsible, like, for, like, I could be responsible, like, for other people. But, like, having Amelia, like, has forced me to, like, draw these two people, like, the artsy guy and the responsible person, into, like, one working adult human being.
Yeah.
I love you guys. You guys are awesome.
And it's made my life richer, for sure.
yeah, right. Right.
Thank you for listening to Over for Coffee. Please join the discussion over on our Facebook page by sharing some habits you've seen in highly creative people. We'd love to hear from you. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider sponsoring our next cup of creative coffee by donating on our website, overforcoffee.com. Don't forget to comment, like, and share each episode with your friends.